People sometimes go back to things that cause them so much, I don't know, so much trouble. You know, people go back, they keep going back, they keep going back, they keep going back. I think I've shared with you guys, many of you guys know that I used to work at a place called Six Flags Great America. Six Flags Great America. So I worked this ride called the Rolling Thunder, and it would go something like this. Welcome to the Rolling Thunder. Grab a seat, pull down the black lap bar in front of you to a tight and secure position. Then we go around and we check their seats, you know. And, you know, I worked there the whole one summer I worked there. And there are times when I wonder why people would come back to the rides, would keep coming back. Because sometimes I could see people on the platform. They're waiting in line. And I can see that something is wrong with them. I could see that some there, like some of them look like every now and then you'd find someone who is sick. Like they've been on too many rides, they've eaten too much pizza, elephant ears, cotton candy, pop, and they look like they're sick, and yet they're waiting in line to get on the ride, right? And they keep, like, I'm like, what are you doing here? Why are you on this platform? And there'd be some times, you guys, when, you know, the worst part of being a ride operator or checking the lap bar is that, like, sometimes there'd be person. I remember one time specific, a person got into the ride, into the roller coaster. We checked their lap bars, and then all of us have to, like, simultaneously, in order to launch the ride, we have to press this button and hold up our thumbs so that the main operator can send it off, you know. And I remember the ride just started. I mean, just moved. It's not like they were doing any loop-de-loops or moving around. They just started and, you know, just got sick all over the ride. And we're like, stop the ride. You know, and then it stops. The person gets out. We help them out, you know, and I don't know where they go. They go lay down someplace. I don't know. We have a first aid place or whatever. You know, and then, you know, but I'm like, why would you come back to something if you already know that this is causing you problems? If you already know that you are sick and this is causing problems, why do you come back to this? You know, when I think about that in life, I feel like sometimes there's these things that people keep coming back to. And I don't know, maybe it's because in some portion of it, there is pleasure in it. You know, I mean, riding rides is fun or whatever. Maybe there's something that's in part of it. There is some sort of comfort, some sort of security, some sort of pleasure. We keep coming back to these things. But, you know, sometimes I'm like, why do we do this? And, you know, sometimes I can see it myself. Why do I keep coming back to this stuff, you know? And that's partly what Paul is talking about this morning. Why are you going back to your old ways? Why do you go back to this when you know that you don't have to? You don't have to do this anymore, all right? He's wondering why people go back to that which punishes them, or in this case he says enslaves you, when you don't have to do it, right? As we look at this passage this morning, there's basically two parts to it. So it's a pretty straightforward passage. There's two parts that we're going to take a look at this morning. The first part is the problem, what the problem is. The second part is the plea, Paul's plea, okay? So let's take a look at the problem. My little clicker just is not kicking in this past couple weeks. I don't know what the deal is. Okay, there we go. All right. So, look with me in verse 8. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who were by nature not God. But now that you know God, or rather, are known by God. So, you know what? It starts out actually a good beginning. It starts out, the problem he starts when he's describing the problem, he's like, actually, there's a good beginning. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who were by nature not gods. I don't know, do you guys you guys remember? Do you remember? Do you remember? I've been going over, just this past week, I looked at some of the stories from Grace Centers of Hope. Every now and then, I get an e-letter from Grace Centers of Hope, and it shares specific stories about people that are there that, you know, I mean, most of them are really dramatic stories of people who are just, I mean, enslaved. I mean, just enslaved to drugs, enslaved to sin. I mean, just crazy, crazy out there. And then they talk about, man, in my former life, before Grace Centers of Hope, more specifically, before Christ, this is my life, and they tell their story. Do you guys remember? Can you remember what your life was like before Christ? Do you guys remember? Sometimes it's so challenging. As those who grow up in the church, sometimes it's just like, I just don't quite, you know, even if you don't remember formally, sometimes now you can now know as you walk with Christ, sometimes the things that you struggle with, the things that you struggle with in your old life become more apparent. Do you guys remember what enslaved you? Do you guys remember what caught you, what held on to you, that you were like, oh man, if only I could, and maybe you weren't even aware that you were enslaved by it. Do you remember that? Think about what it was that held you captive, what it was that held on to your heart, things that just formerly in your life before Christ. What was it? I've shared with you guys some of my things, you know? I mean, I've shared with you simple things, like I've shared with you how much once upon a time in high school, college, I mean, one of the things that held me captive was, I remember just the simple game of tennis. I played tennis all the time. I thought tennis, drank tennis, I watched tennis, I played tennis, I read tennis magazine. That to me, I was like, oh, this can kind of fill something in me just briefly, just temporarily. Or it could be any number of things. It could be anything that holds your life, that holds you captive, that holds you, any sin, any measure of anger, just any number of things. And in fact, Paul says, the things that you were slave to weren't even gods. No, they weren't even gods. Again, it could be, I don't know, you guys. There's just so many things. I've heard some of you mention some of the things that hold your heart, that hold you captive, that seem to, like, crimp your freedom. You know, that crimp your freedom. So he starts out saying, formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who were by nature not gods. But here's the good news. Here's how it started out well with the Galatians. Like it starts out well with you when you come to know Christ. It's like, yes, yes, God. Right? But now you know God. You know God. Or rather, Paul, like, it's really weird. Paul corrects himself. Now you know God, or rather, are known by God. And there it is again. This whole book of Galatians has so much been talking about the whole idea of that, of grace, right? Of grace, of like God taking the step forward with you. God showing like he's like saying, I want you to know me. It's not that you were looking for me, but it's God's first initiation going, I am chasing after you. You know, I think of this world and I look around, and just read. Any given day, read the tabloids, read the news, and I look around and I see everyone out there is looking for pretty much the same thing. Everyone out there is looking for pretty much the same thing. Everyone out there is looking for someone to love them, right? Someone to show that they're interested, someone that's pursuing them. You look around, everyone is looking for the same thing. They may be looking for it in different ways. It may be coming out in different ways. But then I think, man, there is a God. There is someone out there who you know is coming after you, who you know loves you perfectly, whose love is never jaded, whose love is never off, whose love never wavers. You know that there is someone every day who thinks of you and who's just so interested in the details of your life, so wanting you to be with them. You know? So it starts out, the Galatians started out well. They're like, yeah, we know him. In fact, no, he knows us, Paul says, right? It started out well. But then, like some, it's now become gone from a good situation to being to kind of being a bad situation. But now you know God, or rather are known by God. Verse 9, look down with me. How is it now, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You observing special days and months and seasons and years, I fear for you that somehow I've wasted my efforts on you, right? So what's going on here? What's happening? Again, we've been going through Galatians for quite some time, and so we know that there's this, that the group of Judaizers are continually like just pulling back, just saying, hey, you know what? You need to come back to, or not come back to, but you need to go back to what the faith was before Christ. You need to follow the laws. You need to follow the rules. You know, you need to follow the tradition that we have, you know? Keep, like, they're like, that's what the real deal is. And again, Paul is saying, that's not the real deal, all right? That's not the real deal. Again, I'll just take a few of these. Here's what the picture is, because it's a little bit different than what we've seen so far, okay? Brian, can you come up here for just a second, okay? I just need your help just a little bit. And Vic, can you go too? Okay, so again, can you put those on? All right. Okay. So you remember a couple of weeks ago? Can you cuff yourself? I mean, just one arm. And then cuff yourself too, Brian. Okay, so you guys remember? You remember a couple of weeks ago we went through Romans 8, right? It talks about how you are no longer a slave to sin, but a slave to righteousness. And again, we remember this whole picture where, look, I mean, before Christ, before Christ, this was us, right? We had really no choice in the matter of whether we chose to be an idolater or lust or sexual morality or envy or any number. Think about in your own life. Think about who you were before Christ. Think about even now the things that your old person once was before you had a new heart and before you had the Holy Spirit in you. And again, what happened again? When Christ came along, he said, look, I'm freeing you from this. You no longer have to choose. You have the freedom to choose whether you have these things in your life. When temptation comes along your way, you know, this doesn't own you anymore. Right? It doesn't own you anymore. All right? And so it's still, you're still going to be tempted. These things are still here. They're still around. You still have parts of your old person, who you once were before Christ, those habits, like I told, like last time we had the stained t-shirt, because you were born with a stained t-shirt. So those things sometimes will still crop up, but ultimately you don't have to. When it comes to that point where you are sitting in front of the computer, where you are in a circle of friends making a choice of what you are talking about, whether you are in an argument with your parents, whether anything you have the choice at that point to go, I'm going to choose to walk away because you've been freed from this. And so Paul is talking about, in this context, in Romans 8, he was talking about those things. He's talking about sin specifically, and he still in some ways is. There we go. And so Paul right now is talking about these things, right? These things. And could you hook yourself up again? Sorry, man. It won't take much longer. I just want to... Paul is talking about these things now. He's saying, look, the Judaizers are saying, like, look, you have to follow the law. The law, and you guys know, you guys have studied growing up, a lot of, if you can get through Leviticus, you know, you've read some of that stuff, you're like, oh, this stuff is so dry. But you know the Ten Commandments. And remember, again, couple of weeks ago when I said, the illustration of the ladder? I remember the law, if the ladder is the law, again, it's not that the purpose of the law is not to help you to get to heaven. It's more of a track instead of a ladder to get to heaven. Instead of moving up, it's a track that we move on, empowered by the Holy Spirit. But this is what the Judaizers, the Jews are saying, is to come back to this stuff because this is what makes you a believer. This is where life can be found. This is what is giving you life. Again, ritual. Ritual is not a bad thing, right? We read in Job that it was his ritual or it was his routine. That if you look at Job chapter 1, it said that he regularly would pray for his kids and offer a sacrifice for his kids in case they may have sin, right? So there's like these routines and these traditions. And again, these aren't necessarily wrong unless you look at it as this will somehow lead to life, right? Because all of us have these traditions. All of us have rituals and routines and traditions. And at least for me, growing up in a Methodist church, or even for you, growing up in a church, the view can become like where church becomes for you these things, where it switches no longer from faith and grace and relationship. Grace, faith, relationship. And it becomes more this. And this is somehow in your head, it becomes like this is where the life is. And in the end, we know that Christ says, no, no. Christ says, look, I don't want for you to say to you, look, I never knew you because you thought that this was like where life was found. And what's happening is that the picture is this, is that that Paul said, look, you've been freed from this, but what you're doing is you're voluntarily going back to this and reconnecting with it. And he's like, why would you do that? Why would you go back to this stuff? Why make church and tradition and the law, why would you go back to that? What are you doing? What are you thinking? No, like that. Okay. Thanks, guys. You can sit down. Why would you do that? Why would you go back to that? Right? And so for us, sometimes I want you to think about what is the Christian life for you? What is the Christian life for you? Is it those things listed out, the tradition, the ritual, routine, the law? Or have you switched in your heart to grace only because Christ gave to me faith? I can't see it. I can't see this, but I'm going to place my trust, my faith fully in him. Relationship, right? All those things that we looked at downstairs. What is it for you? is it truly that? All right? Because, man, those things without grace and faith and relationship, they're really empty. And so, look with me. I'm going to breeze through the plea, okay? If we look at Paul's plea, he says, I plead with you, brothers. Verse 12, become like me, for I became like you. You have done me no wrong. All right? Paul says, look, become me by freeing yourself from the law. Be like I am. Live freely, you guys. You don't have to do it anymore. You don't have to run this race anymore. Live by the law anymore. That's not what's over you. And free yourself from that and live freely unto me, you know? Live freely unto me. Because I became like you. I became like you Gentiles when I abandoned the law and accepted that, like, I too was a sinner and turned to Christ. As you know, it was because of an illness that I preached the gospel to you. Even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not retreat with me. You did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me if I were an angel from God, of God, as if I were Christ himself. He asked them, what has happened to your joy? What's happened to your joy? What happened to where we were in such a good relationship? You were enjoying the Lord. I can testify, if you could have done so, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. Have I now become an enemy, your enemy, by telling you the truth? So apparently what's happening, it's real easy. Paul is like, what brought him to Galatia originally was he stopped in Galatia because he was sick. Really not sure why. Don't know exactly what the illness was. Had to do something with his eyes, you know, because like he was like, man, you guys enjoyed me so much as I was preaching to you in the spirit of the gospel. You heard the message, you received it, you had joy. You enjoyed it so much, if you would have helped me, you would have ripped your own eyes out and given them to me. That's how our relationship was. But now these turkeys over here, they're coming in, they're saying, no, 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 it's the law. Go back to the tradition, go back to the routine, you know, go back to what it was. Become a Jew. And it's like, no, now am I, what happened to us? You know, what happened to us? Why am I now your enemy? Am I now your enemy because I'm telling you the gospel, the truth? All right. Verse 17, those people are zealous to win you over, but for no good. They want to alienate you from us so that you may be zealous for them. It is fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good, to be so always, and not just when I am with you. So I don't know. Can you guys remember? Do you remember? If you look back, if you look at the Galatians, where Paul is telling them, "What happened to you guys? What happened to your joy when you were with the Lord? When I was with you, and we were talking about the gospel, and you accepted the gospel, you received it into your heart. I saw the Spirit move in you, and now you're handcuffing yourself again to this old stuff." Guys, think of a time when you were like, really, I mean, I know, I don't want to assume, I mean, some of you, I know you guys are walking with the Lord. I know some of you are walking with the Lord. But can you think of a time, if you are not, when, man, you were tight with the Lord. You were like this with Him. You were connecting with Him. You heard His voice. You had joy in Him, you know? Last week I talked about, I encourage you guys, do one thing this week. Do one thing. It's just take one day, take one moment, take one portion of time, take a break from your homework, and just put on a worship song, you know, and nothing else. Just enjoy Him. That's it. Just like, so enjoyable. I just love connecting. I just enjoy. I love this song. I love how it reminds me of you. You know, I love being reminded of who you are. And I just love it, God. I love you, you know. That's what it is. You know? Can you guys remember that? Maybe you're there now. Maybe you're not. But he's saying, like, go ahead and go back to that. Go back to that time. If you're going to be zealous about anything, make sure that you're zealous about the right thing. My dear children, for whom I am again in chains and in pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you, how I wish I could be with you now and change my tone, because I am perplexed about you. Paul just doesn't understand why. Doesn't get why. But here's the picture, you guys. What happened to my handcuffs? Here's the picture that I want you guys having in your minds this week, okay? It's this, all right? Is that you guys are completely free in Christ, right? When you and not only to have this picture in your mind, but I mean have this picture in your mind when it comes to the place when you're at temptation, when you're at the middle in the midst of temptation, I want you to have this in your mind, and then I want you to go, look, I'm claiming that I don't have to go back to that. You know that junk that I once was, the person that I once was when we had a baptism recently, and the person is baptized, that's their old self dying, their new self coming up. You say, look, I am not going back to that old person because I don't have to do it because I know that I'm free. All right? And so when you get to that point of okay, if we look at anger and you're like, okay, I know Christ, we see Christ being angry, but we also know that Paul says don't sin in your anger. If it's anger that you struggle with, when you're at that point, you go, look, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to sin. I will tell you how I feel. I will express anger, but I'm not going to sin. All right? If it's lust, you know, if you're at that point of wherever that is for you, what that looks like, and you're in the midst of that point, you can go, I can walk away. I can turn around. The reason why I can turn around is because Christ died on the cross, and now I've got that freedom. I'm just going to turn around. I'm going to take action that reflects what's in God's word, right? Right. If it's jealousy, if it's envy, if it's laziness, right? There's time when you're like tempted to be lazy, and we know that slothfulness is a sin. You go, look, I'm going to command my body to do what my heart says is right. My body says, lay around. My body says, don't do what I'm supposed to be doing right now. But we know, like, I've got the freedom to actually command my body to move it in a place where I know it should be, right? So don't just take this as, okay, have this picture in my mind. Act it out. You don't have to go back to your former way, right? You don't have to go back to those former way. Be careful and watch out for when the law, when the tradition steals away from grace and faith, right? The law is only a guide for us. It's only a way for us to walk in obedience to Him in freedom, okay? In freedom. Why don't we close in prayer, and then we'll respond with singing in freedom to the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give thanks to you that that in Christ, because of your grace, because of you took a step and loved us first, that now we have freedom to love, freedom to show patience, freedom to show gentleness, freedom to be kind. Freedom to display your wisdom, freedom to reveal your justice, freedom to show your power in Christ. And Father, I pray this week that you empower us. I pray this week that maybe when we come back on Saturday or Sunday, that, you know, there would be specific stories, specific instances where we could come back and say, look, I practiced it. I practiced the freedom that I have, that we have in you. Lord, thank you that as we think of communion, that, it came at a cost. It was free to us, but it came at a heavy cost to you. And because of the pain on the cross that you endured, we're free. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.